Right. That is it in essence. The written answer is there should be nothing in my life more important than and obeying His will. I would like to commend you all on your, so for some of you, continuing the walk. For others, maybe this is new year, new me, but I know it would be very easy to be distracted this evening, even though it's only 5 o'clock. It's very easy to be out doing whatever on New Year's Eve, and instead you chose to put learning about God, moving closer to God, obeying His will as a priority this evening. So I would just like to thank you for that and commend you. That's excellent. Moving on to second commandment. We just did the memory quiz on that. You should not be making any idols. And how do we express that one? That answer is more about the action part of it. What does it, how do we do that? We are God's image bearers. So as God's image bearer, we model. Yes, we model. All right. So we're modeling and directing worship. We're showing all of creation and the rest of humanity how this is done. Okay? So again, thank you for being here. Let's get into the third commandment. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. Interesting choice in typing. I didn't catch that one. The name of the Lord your God, this should be in all caps because that's how we write it when we are talking about Yahweh God. It should be Lord. When you put big L, little O, little R, little D, sometimes that means God when it's like the Lord of Lords. But it also could mean a king in his kingdom, a governor, a shepherd over his sheep. I mean, there's all kinds of places in the Bible where that word is used. But when it's capital, all letters, it means the big guy, the creator. Okay. Your God in vain. What does that mean? And it's okay to just blurt out the normal version. Yes.
It's not taking His name out of its purpose.
Okay. Don't use His name for something that doesn't mean God. Okay. Very good. What else you got? That's okay. I was fully anticipating don't say GD, right? Okay. Or don't say Jesus Christ as a cuss word when I step on a Lego or stub my shin on the end table when I get up to go pee and I go, ah, right? Okay. So that is a part of it, yes, but that is a very shallow interpretation. First of all, I don't think that would make top 10 on a list because it's not very life-altering or changing. And to be honest, it's not real hard to do, right? You just say cheese and crackers, right? Is that what we do? And then we're good?
Cheese and rice.
Cheese and rice. Very good. Yep. Okay. So that we're done here. We don't need this class. Everybody, practice saying cheese and rice when you get home, and then we'll be fine. Yep, we're good. God's happy, we're happy. This all works out. I would suggest that this continues from the first, it's almost like these are all connected. We've got no other gods before me, no idols. This is a continuation. You don't use my name in vain. But this is a little bit more personal. It connects with us a little bit. So let's get into what we mean by the Lord's name. Because God is not his name. Let's see if we can get this to play. I do have a video embedded in this that Paul was so kind. There you go.
For thousands of years, every morning and evening, Jewish people have prayed these well-known words as a way of expressing their devotion to God. They're called the Shema. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord is one. And as for you, you shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your strength. We're going to look at the second key word here. Lord, written in all capital letters, this is the personal name of Israel's God. We first learn the meaning of this name in the story of Moses and the burning bush in the book of Exodus chapter 3. God appears to Moses and he commissions him to liberate the Israelites from slavery. And so Moses wonders, what if people ask the name of the God who has sent me? And so God responds, tell them, Ehyeh has sent me to you. Now, that Hebrew word, Ehyeh, means I will be. In other words, God's name means that he is the one who is and who will be. God's existence doesn't depend on anyone or anything else. This God simply is. But it will sound kind of strange for Moses to go say to the Israelites, I will be has sent me to you. Only God can say, I will be. So in the next sentence, God tells Moses the version he should say aloud, Yahweh, the God of our ancestors, he has sent me to you. Now, that word Yahweh is the ancient Hebrew form of the verb he will be. And this is the personal name of the God of Israel. It appears over 6,500 times in the Old Testament. Now, here's what's interesting. Over the centuries, Israelites wanted to honor the sacred nature of this divine name. So as they read the Hebrew Bible aloud and they came to this name, they stopped saying Yahweh and instead started saying the Hebrew word for Lord, which is Adonai. Now this practice has been continued throughout the centuries. And so later, when people started translating the Bible into English, they adopted the same practice. Instead of spelling out the divine name, they translated it as Lord, spelled in all capital letters. Okay, you got that? Good, because there's more. Ancient Jewish scribes wanted to prevent anyone from even accidentally saying this name aloud when you read the Hebrew Bible. So they came up with a visual device to remind you to make sure you say Adonai. They took the four consonant letters of the divine name. These letters correspond to our English letters, Y, H, W, H. Then they inserted the three vowels from the word Adonai and combined these together to create an artificial hybrid word. Which, if you pronounced it, it would say Yahuwah, but no Israelite ever said Yahuwah. It's simply a visual reminder to say the word Adonai. Now, it gets more interesting. Much later, Christian scribes came along who didn't know that Yahuwah was an artificial word, and so they began to say it aloud and spell it in their writings. This is the word that eventually entered into English as Jehovah. It's a word many people still use today. But the main thing is the word Lord in all capital letters is an indication of the divine. Don't confuse it with the word Lord in your English translations that's not in all capital letters. That is the actual Hebrew word Adon, which just means Lord or Master. This word can refer to people like kings or the master of a servant, even a shepherd over his sheep. And sometimes biblical authors will use this word to refer to God, like in the phrases, the Lord of all the earth or the Lord of lords. But behind all of these words, Jehovah, Lord, Adonai, stands the original divine name God of Israel. It refers to the one who was, who is, and who forever will be.
Thanks for watching this word study video. It was the second in a six-part series on the Shema, and we have a lot more video.
All right. So, we've established the name of the Lord. Going forward from that, I would like to revisit the story and where we're at, okay? Because we've set this up multiple times, but we can't do it enough. We are at the time of Exodus. That is when the Ten Commandments are given to the Israelites. They've left Egypt. They're at Mount Sinai. They've crossed the Red Sea. God is making a covenant with them and choosing them to be his people. In the video, they brought up how Moses was called. And that is when, in the Bible, we receive God's name. When he decided to come to his people and basically propose marriage, tell them he was getting them out of slavery and getting them into the promised land, that is when he shared his name with them. I don't think that's a coincidence. When did you change your last name?
When we got married.
Uh-huh. Names are important. And they go along with family. They go along with a clan, a togetherness. All right. So he gave them his name so they would know who God was, what to call him. But that's also how they began to identify themselves. Like, I know who I am. If somebody wants to ask me who I am, I would say, I'm Adam. Well, what should I know about you? I'm a Christian. Okay. That's supposed to carry something with it, right? That's a powerful name. Having that name and attaching it to yourself, or in this case, to your entire nation, is a big deal. At that point is when, and they already covered this, but I'm going to revisit this. He goes to the burning bush, and he says to him, if I come to the people of Israel, this is Moses speaking to the Lord, and say to them, if I come to the people of Israel and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they ask me, what is his name? First of all, there's a disconnect, obviously, in the Jewish nation, in the Israelites. What is his name? Well, if your father followed this God and you're still asking questions about how you would talk to that God, I mean, that's something that we can recognize in our own society. If you were to start talking to somebody about Jesus and they're like, I don't get it. What are you talking about? Their parents missed the boat on leading them there, on giving them that important information. Okay? It's the same thing here. These people are in slavery. They've been there for 400 years. They've really lost a connection, a serious connection with Abraham and Jacob and all those people in their past that all the promises and covenants were made to. They've been so sad and so beat down for so long, they've given up on the idea of being a chosen people, having promises that they're going to be a blessing to the world and that their sons would be like the sands of the beach and that there would be like the stars of the sky. They've forgot all that, which, to be honest, is understandable. They're human. And they've been in slavery for a couple hundred years. So there's that disconnect. And God responds to him, I am who I am. They just covered that. Okay. There's a lot in that. If you missed it, that's a time thing. That's a power thing. I am who I am. I was, I am, I will be. There was no beginning. There will be no end. Here is me. You can't get your head around me. You definitely can't get your arms around me. Just know I've always been, I am, I always will be. I made all this. Nothing is here that didn't come from me. Everything completely relies on me. And he exhibits that in a pretty cool way we'll touch on in a minute. All right. He said, say this to the people. So he tells them his name, but then he says, say this to the people of Israel. I am has sent me to you. God also said to Moses, say this to the people of Israel, the Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, has sent me to you. This is my name forever, and thus I am to be remembered. That's God speaking direct. So, when we think of God, when we read our Bible, when we read the word Lord in all caps, what God said about that was, I am eternal, and I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. That is my name forever, and thus I am to be remembered. Throughout all generations, in case you thought this was just a Jewish thing, go and gather the elders of Israel together and say to them, the Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, of Isaac, and of Jacob, has appeared to me, saying, I have observed you and what has been done to you in Egypt, and I promise that I will bring you up out of the affliction of Egypt to the land of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites, a land flowing with milk and honey. Part of the Jewish tradition of marriage is that the husband prepare a home for his bride. You get betrothed, like Mary and Joseph were betrothed, right? But they didn't live together. That's because they were married, but they weren't married. The closest thing we got is engaged, but it was different because engaged was already married, as in this deed is done. There will be no deviations. There will be no last minute change of mind or cold feet without any, that's okay. No, it's not okay. It's the same as being married, all in. The problem is, the husband needs to go and prepare the home. He needs to create a proper place, usually in his parents' home, but he needs to make her place, her room that's hers alone, just for her. And that's going to be where we do us over here, our space. So God is already promising that right here. He's like, hey, you're going to be my people. We're going to get out of slavery. I've seen what's going on here. I haven't forgotten you. I haven't forgotten my promises. You forgot my promises. I didn't. And I've already got your home prepared. I'm just going to show you how to get there. Let's go. All right. So, going over my notes to see what I forgot. Reminder, that name is connected, his name, God's name. Whether you speak Yahweh, if you say Adonai, Lord, even what may have been a mistake, Jehovah, but it's still, that's just a fine way to address God. That is another name for him in our culture, and we all know who you mean, so it's not lessened. When you think that name, it is tied to a story of deliverance. He made promises. He made promises to get people out of slavery. He made promises of freedom and taking you to a better place. And that rests on his name. His name comes with that, and it's tied to it. There's no separating his name from that message. All right. What does that mean? What does that mean for us? At this time, I would like to address a little bit of attention to another word that's not common parlance in the English language anymore, which is vain. Jackson touched on it earlier. What's vain? What's a word that sounds like vain? There's an 80s song all about it. Rain, that's a nice rhyme. I was thinking vanity because they're related, but yep. I bet you think the song is about you. I believe that was Carly Simon. Mm-hmm. Commonly believed that she was singing that to her ex-boyfriend, Mick Jagger.
Was that it, really?
Yeah.
I didn't even know that.
Yeah. Anyway, now that we got Mick Jagger worked into our Ten Commandments, let's keep moving here. What does that mean, vain? Vain is tied to the word vanity also, which is heavily featured in the book of Ecclesiastes, if you want to get a little deeper into that one. But vain means, actually, who's got their phone? What's vain mean? You got your pocket computer, magic computer box in your pocket. Well, it doesn't necessarily mean in a bad way, but you're on point. You're not wrong, because it is, they're saying it in a bad way, and that is incorrect. So you should tell them that, and you're doing the right thing. The word vain itself has two meanings. It's probably the second one. Go ahead.
Having or showing an excessively high opinion of one's appearance, abilities, or worth.
Okay.
Their flattery made him vain.
So okay.
It's like putting yourself on a pedestal if somebody is...
Right. That's what the song was singing about. Try the second one.
Producing a result useless. A vain attempt to tidy up a room. No, that's not...
That's exactly what we're talking about.
What is?
Yep.
It says the second meaning is a vain attempt to tidy up the room, like you're working for it and not getting anywhere.
That's right.
Yeah.
Useless. Pointless. Powerless. Often tied to vanity. If you do something that's all about you, the first... The second one, because they put them in order of usefulness, how often they're used in the common language today. So the first one is tied to the word vanity, because that's the most common use today. It comes from, that word vanity comes from the original meaning of vain, which was useless. Because when I spend all day making my hair just so and getting my car polished just right, and then I go out to impress everybody with how cool I am with these surface level things that really have no importance or meaning in life and make nobody else's life any better, it's useless. It's pointless. It has no power, gets us nowhere, does not move us forward.
Can I read what it says about what does vain mean in the Bible?
Sure.
Having no real value or significance, worthless, empty, idle, hollow, etc., without force or effect, futile, fruitless, unprofitable, unavailing, etc.
That is a plethora of...
Yes.
That's a lot of synonyms. Love it. Okay. So that's what vain means. So when we say don't take the Lord's name in vain, certainly taking it in a way that speaks poorly of it, that diminishes it, attacks it, is bad. And that is the point. Vain means implying that the Lord is less than he is. Lowering the value of that name by using it in a way or carrying it in a way that is pointless, fruitless, useless, diminishing. So this has a lot of meaning for us. This is a new year, new me kind of thing. It's divine providence that this would happen to be on New Year's, because this is a how do we walk commandment. How you do this. Actually, I don't like to walk. I like to run the race. Right, Layla? Yeah. Get you in some New Testament. Paul likes to talk about running the race. Not this Paul. He doesn't like to run. The Apostle Paul. All right. So, what does this mean? There is an answer. We're going to get right to it, and then we're going to dig in. Please go. I think I fat-fingered the shift button. Okay. It worked. Right. Two times technology today. So impressed with me. All right. As God's name bearers, our lives must reflect His character and conduct. To be fair, this is really a double down on last week's movement. It's like God thought this was so important, He had to tell us twice. Okay? So let's compare this to last week, last month, last year. What was the second commandment? Yep, no making idols. Thank you, Tristan. What was the meaning of that? What do we take away from that? The answer that went with that? As God's image bearers, model and direct His worship. All right, so first of all, we're image bearers. We're made in His image, right? Made in His image. Now, we're name bearers. It's almost like we're His adopted children or something. Because how do you know your children? First, they kind of look like you, whether you like that or not. Second, they have your name. So that's what's going on here. In this case, He's marrying the people of Israel in the commandments, so they get to take His name forward. They get to know His name. You, yes, what do you got, Porter? You know them your entire life. Yep. How long has God known you? Yeah, maybe even before. I don't know. I wasn't there for the meeting. But, yeah. So that's pretty awesome. Good one. All right. So, let's take a look at, in the book, same book of Exodus, a little bit on the aspects of that name. We're going to key in on, who here was in light group? You light group? Who else?
What, your light group?
No, light group, L-I-T-E. Sorry, I enunciate, Adam. What a big theme in light group? Conduct and character. That's where we're going here. All right. Along with that name, it's two aspects. Conduct, character. We're going to start with character. And I'm going to go off note here. So we're going to start with back in the book of Exodus. This is Exodus 34, verses 5 through 7. The Lord descended in the cloud. That would be the cloud on Mount Sinai. And all the people of Israel are at the base. And He's like, hey, Moses, come up here. And let's talk about this. Go back down, tell him go away. Come back up here. Go back down, tell him for real, go away. Tell him come back up here. We'll write some stuff down. Go down. Break them and tell everybody they're jerks. That one. The Lord descended in the cloud and stood with him there and proclaimed the name of the Lord. The Lord passed before him and proclaimed, the Lord, a God merciful and gracious. Anybody remember this? Yes, this is the character of God, merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love. All right. It makes little flutters in my heart when you say that without being helped. Steadfast love and faithfulness, keeping keeping steadfast love for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin. There's a but. But who will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children and the children's children to the third and fourth generation. So, the character of God is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness, keeping steadfast love for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, loving, faithful, but who will by no means clear the guilty, just. He is a righteous God. That's part of His character. He will not be defiled or diminished. That grace cannot be taken advantage of. You can receive it, but you can't make light of it. You can't ignore it. You must make a turn and follow God's will. If you try to make a mockery of God's law, He will visit the iniquity of the fathers on the children and the children's children to the third and fourth generation. Ouch. Do we still see that? Does God still do that? This is just Old Testament God. That's a Jewish God, man. I'm with that New Testament, right? I would say that God does require repentance. If you take this grace, this gospel lightly, sorry, you're out of luck. I would also add that just in society, looking around, I recognize in working with a lot of people something I would refer to as a generational curse. You familiar with that? Yeah. For some reason, just on down the line, we keep making the same mistake. Here, here, here. Here, here, here. It's a real thing. I'll let you decide on that one. All right. Along with character, there is a visual representation of God's character. In the very picture we saw earlier, that being Moses at the burning bush. When he shares his name, he gives a visual representation of his character at the same time. How did Moses end up at the burning bush? Does anybody remember Sunday school story? What was he doing that day? Tending sheep, right. He already killed the guard back in Egypt, took off, and then got found out, got scared for his life, took off running through the desert to the middle of nowhere, meets the cute girl at the well, right? We all saw the Disney movie, right? And then ends up taking care of the sheep for dad. Okay, so he's out doing his job. He went from prince to shepherd. Right? So, the opposite of David. So, when he's out there being a shepherd, doing what he's supposed to be doing, he's walking along, and what's he see? A bush, and it's burning. It is a semi-arid climate. It's possible that a bush could catch on fire. And it's way up a mountain, right? So, like, he kind of lets it go. That's the way it seems to read. But then he decides to go up there. Why? Because it's one bush, right? It's been burning for hours. You know, like, they didn't have propane then. He's like, what's going on, dude? Like, that's just burning and burning, and it's not going anywhere. Goes up, and that's when the Lord speaks to him. Hey, stop where you're at. You're on holy ground. Take off your sandals. Get down. This is for real. Well, he goes over there. That bush is continually burning, not being consumed. Okay. At this time in history, and now, we don't recognize it, but facts are facts. If we want to get down to brass tacks, all of human endeavors, our society as a whole, is here because what? What trick did the human pull off that makes us the coolest and made all of the comforts of modern life possible? Fire. Controlling fire. But we only know one way to deal with fire, because fire is amazing. Fire cooks, fire heats, fire lights. We didn't have electricity. Fire is light, the original light. This is how we see in the dark. So this is how you find your way. This is how you see in the darkness. This is what keeps you warm. This is what keeps you fed. Yet the only way we can do it is to consume something. Put a log in the fireplace, you're good for an hour, buddy, and then you better go get another one, or it's going to get cold in here. You got to be back to flint and steel, rubbing sticks together, whatever. This did not consume. Only an eternal God, only a creator could have a light and a heat that purifies, that guides, but does not consume. In and of itself, as God is. God is eternal. He doesn't need anything. He's of himself. Everything needs him. He doesn't need it. That's just the way it is. Next, conduct. Let's revisit Exodus. The God who sees all, loves and delivers. Conduct aligns with character. Okay, conduct aligns with character. You can say you're a good basketball player all day. I could tell you all day about how to properly bend my elbow, how to follow through, how to keep my eyes on the back of the rim. At the end of the day, no matter how good I talk, Tristan could block that, be at the other end dunking before I knew what happened, because I'm terrible at basketball. I could talk it up all day, but I don't practice. You can say your character is whatever. The conduct is where it's at. I know who you are by what you do. We all know that. We watch people at school, at work. We all know that one person that's always, I did this, I did that, I'm the best, and then you know, I see him in the break room eating somebody else's sandwich or talking behind the other girl's back when she's not there that day. Like, yeah, no. You follow through. You run the race. All right. So, if we bear his name, our lives reflect, this is going back to the image thing, we look like God. And we act like God. God is, what is God? How does God act? Because his character and his conduct should be reflected in our lives, our walk. So that's our call in a new year. We're praying at night. What are we praying? Right now we're praying, hey, how am I doing with images? How am I doing with idols? What am I putting before you? How am I doing it? Showing other people how I worship you. How I worship you is an expression of love, verbal. Is we all love to go in and do that. That's kind of like me saying I know all about basketball, but then losing 25 to nothing at my 1-on-1. Okay, the the deal here is you got to do both. You got to talk the talk and you got to walk the walk. That's just how it is. That's what Jesus does. That's why we call ourselves Christians. When we call ourselves Christians, that's putting on a name. We are carrying a name, a banner, allegiance, right? Just like in the beginning, the gospel series, talk about kingdom. A lot of kingdom words, right? And what do? In the kingdom sense. We pray the Lord's Prayer, we pray for His kingdom come. We want to be part of that kingdom. When we say we're Christian, we're raising a flag. Go Team Jesus. I'm on Team Jesus. I'm in this army, on this side of the wall, in this kingdom, answering to that king. That is my king. Jesus is my judge. This is who I answer to. This is where my allegiance lies. If next week I'm hanging out outside the kingdom doing things that king I know would not approve of, and maybe even saying a few bad things about that king and the people in his kingdom, I'm not on Team Jesus. I'm not in that kingdom. I'm a defector. I'm treasonous. I'm right back where we started at the beginning of the story. Broken, separated by treason.
So if we claim to be a Christian and we don't act and our character and conduct does not prove that we are a Christian, is that also using God's name in vain? Is that putting Him in a lesser than desired
situation? I love you. I love you because I had completely forgotten my own note. And when we covered the word vain, I should go to Mark chapter 7, verses 6 through 9. This would be in red letters in my copy. And he is speaking to the Pharisees. And I'll skip the part where the Pharisees are given a hard time and get to Jesus' answer. In verse 6, we begin, "He answered and said to them, well, did Isaiah prophesy of you?" Meaning, Isaiah got you right. When he prophesied, hey guys that know the Bible, every word of it, I would suggest you take a look at Isaiah because he was talking about you. That's what Jesus is saying. "Well, did Isaiah prophesy of you, hypocrites, as it is written, this people honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me, and in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrine the commandments of men." So I would say, yeah, I would, Jesus seems to be on board with your program. It's on the same wavelength. Okay, thank you for that, Sonia. Very good point. All right. Let me take a look at my actual notes, not the ones I wrote in, and see what's up. Contained with Yahweh name on it, but with nothing in it. Oh, that's got to be from Paul because that's deep. So we'll read this note because we're getting there. All right. "A container with Yahweh's name on it, but there's nothing in it, is worse than something poisonous." A container with Yahweh's name on it, but with nothing in it, is worse than something poisonous. Now, we talked about modeling in our last meeting, and that's how we're showing people to worship. Also, what would we put on? What do we put on? Do we put on Jesus, or do we put on some other image? Do we put on a designer name? Do we put on a team mascot? Do we put on our company that we work for or whatever we promote? Or do we put on Jesus? Personally, I shared that I had struggled when I first started walking this walk. Went to a church that did ashes on Ash Wednesday, and I was super uncomfortable walking around with a cross on my forehead all day. People were like, give you a look, and they're like, oh, he's one of those. You know, some people have no idea and ask you what it is, and now you're having a conversation about Jesus, which if you're new to this, you're just like, oh gosh, please don't ask me. I don't want to explain. I sound crazy. Or you got people that go, oh, he's one of those religious types. I know not to invite him to the next company party, whatever it is. Jesus. Well, if I'm uncomfortable with that, I need to like really think about that. Get comfortable with it. Because that's Jesus promised that this would be like that. Straight up told us. So he didn't pull any punches on that one. He didn't pull a bait and switch on us. He didn't oversell, underdeliver. He told you going in. Implications of all this. Let's take a look at Exodus 20, verses 20 through 26. Moses said to the people, "Do not fear, for God has come to test you, that the fear of him may be before you, that you may not sin." The people stood far off while Moses drew near to the thick darkness where God was. This is God on the mountain, all the smoke and lightning, speaking to the people, and the people who God had already told, hey, don't come on the mountain, you'll get burned up. When they witnessed that display, God completely hidden in cloud, but still on display, and heard his voice, they all said, what? These are the people that just got saved from Egypt. These are the people that just had the ocean part, walk across the Red Sea. And then they hear the God that did that and they go, whoa, I don't know about this. Maybe I need to back up a little bit. That's too much power. That's scary. Moses tells them, do not fear. Does that mean that they shouldn't be scared of God? He said, you should not be scared right now, for God has come to test you, that the fear of him may be before you, that you may not sin. A while back, we did a whole study of the book of Proverbs, and it started off with the idea that the fear of God is the beginning of knowledge. That's where you start, the fear of God. Fearing God is a good thing. Because he's telling them, God showed up here so that you would know who it is you're dealing with. So you would be afraid, so you can remember that. Put that in your head and don't let go. You need to put that in your pocket, take it with you every day, and remember that guy, that is your God. That's who you answer to. So when you're like, putting his name down, when you're messing with him, that's who you're messing with. And still, it didn't take very long before people did what people do. And the Lord said to Moses, thus you shall say to the people of Israel, you have seen for yourselves that I have talked with you from heaven. You shall not make gods of silver to be with me, nor shall you make for yourselves gods of gold. An altar of earth you shall make for me and sacrifice on it your burnt offerings and your peace offerings, your sheep and your oxen, in every place where I cause my name to be remembered. I will come to you and bless you. If you make me an altar of stone, you shall not build it of hewn stones, for if you wield your tool on it, you profane it. And you shall not go up by steps to my altar, that your nakedness be not exposed on it. What's that and weird stuff at the end about? That was a lot weird, wasn't it? Is that weird? Don't carve stones. Don't put steps on it. What's that about, Jackson? Why can't we carve stones? Maybe. Yeah, maybe we shouldn't carve things, but that's not really an image. The idea being God made it. It's good enough for God. You start messing with it, you'll mess it up. I'll provide what's needed here. I know what I need. I'll put it where it needs to be. If you need to pick it up and put it in a pile, you go ahead. You don't need to be messing with my plans. Why can't we have steps? He was trying to impress upon them that this is so serious, so solemn, so holy, this is so important, we cannot be distracted by somebody walking up there and having their underwear hanging out. I'm not going to be having people either trying to look at somebody's legs or seeing somebody's underwear when they bend over to do this to that. We're going to cut that right out. This is entirely serious. You are not going to be up above. You're going to be right here with everybody else. Okay? Okay. Just threw that in there to keep everybody honest. Now, we've got some prophets and some other things in here, and we're going to jam them in the next couple minutes. We will be leaving in a timely fashion. Examples of conduct that might empty the name of Yahweh. It might make it less. Book of Amos, lesser known prophet. Amos 2, verse 7. Those who trampled the head of the poor into the dust of the earth and turn aside the way of the afflicted, a man and his father go into the same girl so that my holy name is profaned. All right. Trampling the head of the poor into the dust of the earth. Taking advantage of the disadvantaged. Making profit from other people's pain. Improper lending practices. Not giving somebody who's hungry some food. Not giving somebody who's cold something to wear. Turn aside the way of the afflicted. They're sick. They're beat down. They have depression. I don't care. It's not my problem. That diminishes the name of the Lord. A man and his father go into the same girl. What's this all about? Now we got more weird stuff. That's weird. What is that about? Sexuality. Doing things outside God's plan. Casual sex. Whatever, whoever, wherever. No, that diminishes God's name. So, what is the right way? What did Jesus say? We already touched on Jesus said this wasn't going to be easy. What is the symbol of our belief? What is this symbol of our faith? What is the flag that we as Christians wave? I'll give you a hint. There's one at the front. Yeah, cross. What did Jesus say about the cross? Pick up your cross. Thank you. That is 100% what we're getting at here. Jesus said, pick up your cross. Take up your cross. Pray. What we pray at the beginning of the Lord's Prayer. Prayer people. Yep. What's the second line? Oh, your name is holy. We have to remind ourselves of that every day. Your name is holy. Hallowed be your name. We don't mess with your name. Your name is holy. Your name is above all other names. Your name is the Lord. Your name is Adonai. Your name is Yahweh. Your name is, he will be, he is, he was. All right. I think it's important to carry away from this, not just your cross, but also that you carry a name. If you carry that name well, you will be blessed. I don't know if any of you grew up in a household where your parents or grandparents reminded you what your name was. They would tell you, don't you forget your last name, or they would say, you're a Davis. Davises do not. Anybody?
I did, but mine was typically in reference to something bad. Like, you're a daughter, you have a temper. Watch it.
Okay. All right.
So opposite of what you're saying. But
yes. You carry a name as a parent that those kids, people associate those kids with me. They just do. And there's not, that's, they're not wrong to do that. So I hope and pray that I've put enough into them and taught them right, and that they follow my good example and they don't follow all my bad example, right? That's my prayer for them, that somehow God will give them the wisdom to ignore my stupidity and just focus on what I'm doing right. But he gave us Jesus so that we would know if somebody wasn't like Adam Bennett, if they were really right, this is how it's done. And we're carrying, if you want to know how to carry God's name, you just, I mean, that's why we have this book. That's why we call ourselves Christians. You want to carry his name? Jesus. All right. Now, he wants to place his name on us. We are his adopted children. When we repent and choose to accept the grace of his forgiveness, we enter that family, we take that name. So we should be proud of that name, but we should also carry it with pride. If you have pride, what do you got pride in, Aiden? What's something that you think is like something you have that's cool? Like something, a belonging you have? Your chain. Proud of your chain?
Yeah.
You wear it in the front, outside your shirt, right?
Sometimes,
yeah. If it was covered in mud, what would you do?
Wash it.
Yeah. You wouldn't go out with it all muddy. Clasp broke, you get it fixed. Take it directly to the store and get that clasp fixed. You wouldn't hide it in an old junk drawer, forget about it. Oh. You can have pride in that. Have pride in the name of Jesus. Have pride in that cross you carry. Have pride in the flag of allegiance to the kingdom that you carry. The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to Aaron and his sons, saying thus, you shall bless the people of Israel. You shall say to them, this is how the Lord God, Yahweh, spoke to Aaron, the first official priest of Israel, the priest, Moses' brother, number one priest. Number one priest, say this to the people if you want to bless them. Say, the Lord, this might sound familiar, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. So shall they put my name upon the people of Israel, and I will bless them. Oh, when Paul says words to that effect at the end of a service, you are receiving the original blessing given to Aaron, the original priest. That is the intention. The continuation from the beginning that comes with carrying his name, because he is willing to put that name upon you. That's the crazy part. The crazy part is that he's willing to adopt you, to let you have that name. I mean, let's be honest. You know, I mean, guys, young guys, that's something to take into consideration when you go get married. Somebody else is going to walk around with your last name. So you better choose wisely. God chose to allow you to take that name. That's a whole lot of grace he's given us. So accept it, treat it better than you would treat your gold chain. That's a pretty amazing gift. In closing, with the prayer, what are we going to pray? Got any ideas? Davis, Allie, what are we praying? We go to bed, we're going to pray. I mean, it's going to be late probably tonight when we go to bed. It's got to be a short prayer. What are we going to pray? Okay, we're going to pray the Lord's Prayer. That's going to remind us when we say, hallowed be thy name, that his name is a big deal. We don't mess with it. It's holy. Then, since we're in the Ten Commandments, we're going to ask the Holy Spirit to guide us and prompt us, where have I made an idol? Where have I had other gods? Especially this week, we're going to pray, where have I taken your name in vain? Where have I made your name less, made it fruitless, useless? Where have I, who carry your name as a Christian, embarrassed that name? Where have I run poorly? Did I go off course? Did I cut a corner or two? Did I trip an opponent? Did I just run real slow because today wasn't my day and I didn't feel like it? Okay. Let's close in prayer. Anybody? Would anybody like to close? I got you. You got anything to add, bud?
You're starting ministry rotations. Okay. So the last 3 months was a Hope Project. Heard some great stuff. Taylor, so you guys went over to, was it up Agape? How'd that go? I heard good stuff, man. I heard good stuff.
That's awesome. I didn't know anybody went to Agape.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you for doing that. A ministry rotation is about at least once, preferably at least twice a month, you are hanging out in that ministry department, that area, whether it's opening a door or it's helping back in the blasting zone or it's doing something over with worship. There's lots of opportunities. The whole purpose is that you get exposed to other aspects of ministry in the church. Some of you already have a permanent fit. Hey, this is my ministry team. This is my jam. This is what I do. Awesome. We'd love for you also to do something that's above and beyond your comfort zone. Okay? That's where you will find, yes, Linda immediately looked away from me. Okay?
Next
that
week.
That is where you will experience so much more abundant grace because you are doing things that are uncomfortable and you are letting God lead you into amazing experiences. And you're not going to go up and leave worship. That's not what we're talking about, okay? But there are plenty of opportunities. If you haven't landed in where you want to spend the next 3 months, hey, talk to a mentor, talk to me, talk to Adam. Let's get that zeroed in, okay? Because you're going to want to get that started, yeah.
I got two suggestions further. Yeah. One, you can join Linda and I in evangelizing to all the visitors that come in the door.
Yes, yes, yeah. Yeah, I think Linda would love to do that, right? Well,
second, if you haven't served in the nursery,
you can join Linda.
Get in there and check out the cool stuff that Team Tiffany did in there.
That nursery looks awesome. You guys have to go check it out.
Yeah.
We have to wait, just turn the lights on first before you see it, right?
Yeah.
We're going to be on MTV Chapel pretty soon.
Is it MTV Cribs?
Yep. They're going to be up in there.
Our crib has Cribs.
It's awesome. Oh. Anything else?
No, I think so.
All right. Father, thank you. Thank you so much for sharing your name. Thank you that we can pray to our Creator and our Savior. Thank you, Lord, that you have had the grace and mercy to allow us to take up that name. Lord, we ask that you would help us to carry it well and bless us in this new year as we continue to find how to best follow you, how to glorify you, and how to obey your will. Lord, I pray a blessing upon this class, and I ask that you would just shine in their lives this year. And Lord, thank you so much for them shining in ours. This I pray in your holy name. Amen.
Amen. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. We will see you in the new year. Again, thank you for starting the new year off right.
Thank you for carrying the name well.
Linda, you're not going to be doing evangelizing of all the visitors in the parking lot with me?
In the parking lot, what do I say? Let me tell you about my Jesus.
Yes, you can start with that.
I'll sing it.
That's a good cold opener. No, actually, it's generally best to start with a question. Yeah, who are you? That's maybe not the best question to start with. How are you? What's your name? Yeah.
Sure. I can do that. I can do that. I did it today.
You did?
I met Audra's son. I didn't even know it was her son. I just went up
to
him. Oh, I haven't seen you before. Have you been coming here long? You know, 2 months. I haven't seen him before. Because there's so many new people.
Right.
It's so hard to, you know.
They've been coming regular, but they do. It's like two or three on, one off, on, one off.
But I had heard a lot about him from her before, so I knew a little bit of the backstory. So that was kind of good that I introduced myself and I found out it was him. I need to do better at that.
Well, hey, can I just? That's awesome. Just walking up to somebody you don't know and saying, how you doing?
I did that. Yes. Start
That's right. That's right. Right on, Linda.
But I don't know. I'm not good at it. I'm trying to be.
I'm not good at it either. I just force it. I just go, okay, we're doing it. Once you walk over there and they look at you, you can't be like, so you just got to go, hey, how you doing? No backing out.
So it was nice that I already knew a little bit about him from her.
Yeah.
North Carolina, you guys got a house down here. She shared with me all of that was going on, you know, that they moved back from North Carolina and they got a house and she's living with them now, so she's not living on her own.
Yeah, but what son doesn't want to hear that his mom brags about him and stuff?
Yeah.
That's great. That's great stuff.
So
that's perfect. Good job, Linda.
I want to see that.
Right there.
Yeah.